verse number 3. All right, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let's bow our hearts down in a word of prayer. God and Father, again, we do thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity of gathering this morning and studying your word together. And as we do so, we pray that the things said and done would honor and glorify the name of Christ and would edify the saints that are gathered. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, we want to this morning continue and wrap up our study on how do you count your blessings. We've spent several weeks just understanding what blessing is and how it works. We saw that to bless someone or to be blessed, to bless someone is to speak well of them, to distinguish them with favor, to confer happiness upon them. And we use the term, the way the term is used in Scripture is pretty much the way we use it today. If someone does something nice for you or gives you something, you could say that person blessed me with whatever or they were a blessing to me. In the sense that the word means to speak well of, we use it that way today. If a couple wants their marriage blessed by the family, you know, the families give their blessing to this union, to this marriage, that's to speak well of it, not to oppose it, that kind of thing. So we use the word today in much the same way it's used in Scripture. And as we started studying blessing, one of the first things we understood was the two different kinds of blessing that there are. There is blessing that is the result of nature. That is, all you see around you, the food you have to eat, the shelter, the clothing, all of that. Those are blessings from the Lord in the sense that they're a part of His creation. And they are available to everyone, saved and lost, on an equal basis. There's no special blessing of those kinds of things if you're saved. No special curse involving those things if you're lost. Some lost people have a lot, some have a little, some saved people have a lot, some have a little. So that kind of blessing, it is from God, and it is something that we should be thankful for, but we should be thankful for it in the context of the fact that it's just a part of God's creation, and it's available to us. Not in the sense that, well, God gave me this blessing specifically because I'm His child, but just God gave this blessing as a part of His creation. I'm a part of His creation. If you flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 4, you really see the idea behind that kind of blessing. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, Paul talks about those in the end time, 1 Timothy 4, 3, who forbid to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. The things that God has created are to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So if you're saved and you understand where these things came from, you understand that God is the creator and these things are here because God put them here, then you are someone that believes and knows the truth. And you can therefore be thankful to God for those things that are in creation that you have access to. If you don't believe and know the truth about creation and about who God is, then you're going to receive those things, but you're not going to receive them with thanksgiving. So that's kind of the difference. People that are saved know to be thankful to God. People if you just understand the Creator, that God is the Creator, you know to be thankful for those things. If not, then you're not going to know to be thankful for those things. Then secondly, we looked at, and this is what we spent the bulk of the time looking at, blessings that come from God because you are His children. To those that come to Him by faith, whether that's the nation Israel, whether that's the church, the body of Christ, there are blessings that come exclusively because you're God's children, not because, not just because you're part of creation, but things that He's given to you because you're His children. Those blessings are limited to His people, to those that are saved, to those who have come to Him by faith. They are not available to everyone, but only to that select group. God's very discriminating about those blessings. The blessings in nature are very non-discriminatory. Everybody has access to them. But the blessings of God given to His people, He does discriminate with those. Only those who come to Him by faith. Now, we spent a couple weeks looking at several different issues. Go back there to Ephesians chapter 1. And we looked at a couple different elements of that verse. We saw in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We talk just about blessing in general, what it means. Then in the end of the verse, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We saw that our blessings are number one in Christ. Israel's blessings came as a result of being a physical descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Or if the Gentiles would bless that group of people, then they would get blessed also. Our blessing today is because we're in Christ, not because we're physically descended from anyone, but because we're spiritually united to Christ. Secondly, our blessings are all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So they're spiritual in nature. We talked about that last week, and the thing that's important to understand about that is, you know, we sometimes tend to make the distinction, well, the church has spiritual blessings, Israel had physical blessings. And in a sense, that's true. But you also have to understand that in the end, all of God's people are going to receive all of His blessing. We're going to have all spiritual blessings, but we're also going to have, you know, we're not going to have this body of flesh anymore that gets sick and dies. So we're going to have physical, there's not going to be hunger, there's not going to be sickness, not going to be any of that stuff. So ultimately, in the end, we also will have physical blessing. Israel, we saw last week, had physical blessings up front. That is, he made their crops to prosper. When they obeyed his law, he made the crops to prosper, made the flocks to prosper, the work of their hands prospered, all of that. But also, they are looking in the future for a spiritual blessing. They're looking for the time when God will take away their sins, when the times of refreshing come for the presence of the Lord. So the thing about spiritual and physical blessing is not so much who gets what, because we all are going to get all that blessing. But it is that we get the spiritual part up front, we wait for the physical part. Israel got the physical part, for the most part, up front. They waited for that spiritual redemption. Today, but in the end, we're all going to get all that blessing. Today, we want to talk about that last issue that he mentions there, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Our blessings, he talks about where they are, in heavenly places. And for me, you know, in understanding his blessing of the nation Israel, his blessing of the body of Christ, his blessing of his people throughout the ages, this is the thing that provides the greatest contrast between the two. He is blessing, and ultimately everyone is blessed because they have a relationship in some way with Christ. Even those Old Testament Jews, their sins can be forgiven because of the Lamb of God that was to come to take away the sin of the world. They didn't understand that. They didn't realize that. They didn't have a revelation about it as we do. But ultimately, their relationship by faith as the seed of Abraham allows them to participate in the sacrifice of Christ and have that sacrifice applied to them. So in that sense, we all are blessed because of what God has done in Christ. Whether you're in Israel or in the body of Christ, you are blessed because of what Christ did. They couldn't have been blessed in Abraham without Christ coming in Abraham's seed and doing what he did. We ultimately all are going to be blessed spiritually and physically. That is, whatever physical kind of needs you have, they're going to be met. Whatever spiritual needs you have, they're going to be met. All of us will have that. But this one, the heavenly and the earthly, that remains a distinction, and that really ought not to surprise us. When we talk about right division, we often talk about it in terms of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created what? Heaven and earth. Revelation 21, I saw a new earth. That is the distinction that all through the Scripture is there. When God created, it was there. When God makes a new creation, it's there. So even though blessing ultimately all comes from Christ, And blessing, ultimately, we all receive all of that blessing, both spiritual and, physical. If I knew how to spell, this would be a lot easier job. Both spiritual and physical, we receive all of that. There is always this distinction between where those blessings reside, where you receive those blessings. Israel receives their blessings always, whether it's physical or the spiritual part of them. They always have a connection to the land and to the earth. Our blessings always have a connection to the heavenly places, whether they are the spiritual part or the physical part. Turn back to Genesis 12. I've tried to sort of emphasize this as we came through the study, but today I want to really go back and point it out to make sure you're seeing this significance of where Israel's blessings reside. The first promise, Genesis 12:1, we look at this all the time to talk about God setting aside Israel and Abraham and all the rest. But it's interesting, the first promise that God ever made to Abraham, Genesis 12:1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto what? A land." What is the very, very first thing that God ever promised to Abraham? A land. That's before anything else. Before I'll bless them that bless you, before I'll make you a great nation, before a multiplied seed, before anything else, God told Abraham, "I'm going to give you some land on planet Earth." Over in Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, we looked at this a couple weeks ago. "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land." It's all, the issue is always for Israel, the land, the land, the land, the land, the land. Without the land, nothing that God wants to do them with them can be accomplished. They've got to have that, because that land is going to become the command post, if you will, the place from which planet Earth is ruled is going to be that land. If you turn to Deuteronomy 28, we looked at Israel's blessing for obedience, that physical part of their blessing for obedience. Deuteronomy 28, verse 8, "The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee," where? In the land. It's almost like in Christ there is blessing. Outside of Christ, there is the curse. For Israel, in the land, there is blessing. If they get driven out of the land, it means they're under the curse. In the land, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. That issue of the land, and of course this is my, as you all know, my pet peeve verse that people misuse so terribly and just make it just terrible, what you hear people do with this verse. But even this, where the issue is spiritual, that spiritual issue is tied to the land for Israel. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 11. "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I'll do two things." What are the two things he'll do? "I will," what? "Forgive their sin and heal their land." See, when Israel needs to get their spiritual act right with God, it still involves, I'm going to do something to the land. I'll forgive you, but I'll also heal the land. When you're right spiritually with me, The land. It's always there. It's always the issue. It's always where God's blessing is attached for Israel. Even the spiritual part of their blessing, even the forgiveness. Turn to the passage in Acts chapter 3 that we looked at last week to demonstrate Israel's future forgiveness, their future conversion. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore being converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall what? Send Jesus. Where's he going to send him to? To the earth. What part of the earth is he going to come to? The land. That's the words. The land. He's got his feet will stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is in the land that God gave to Abraham. And that mount will cleave in two, and then he'll march into Jerusalem ultimately, and he'll establish his kingdom. He'll sit in that temple that will be rebuilt, the one that Solomon built, where God came and dwelt, in the land. And from that land, he will rule the earth. It's always about the land. When they look, whether it's the physical part, the tears are all wiped away and all that, or it's the spiritual part. Sin is dealt with. They always look at that happening in the land. They always look at being in the land when that happens. We'll be together in the land, and together in the land, our sins will be blotted out, and together in the land, it'll flow with milk and honey, and our physical needs will be taken care of. That's the way they always looked at it. Go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. At the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So now we have a new heaven, we have a new earth. What happens on that new earth? Verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That is, all your physical needs will be taken care of. No more death, no more tears, no more pain, no more crying, no more sorrow. Those things are all passed away. But not only that, verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So not only is there going to be physical blessing and fulfillment, but the fearful and unbelieving are cast out into the lake of fire, and he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Verse 6, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life. That's spiritual life from God, freely. In the new earth, there's not only physical blessing, but there's spiritual blessing. In the new earth, it's not only a blessing that provides all of their physical needs, but it's a blessing that provides all that you need spiritually. Everything's taken care of. It's utopia. It's verse 27 of that same verse. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Verse 3 of chapter 22, I want to read to you. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. When Israel gets ultimately what they want, what they're looking for, they got it all, but they've got it all in the land, on the new earth, in the new Jerusalem. There's a place where they get their blessing. And the place where they get their blessing is always in the land, on the earth, even out into the new earth and that new Jerusalem, that new capital city, that new dwelling place of God. It's always related to the earth. Now, the body of Christ, on the other hand, has the same kind of future to look forward to, the same kind of blessing to look forward to in general, but we look forward to it in a different place. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll, now I'm going to start reading at verse 40. And I just want to warn you, when I got to verse 41 is when Madeline passed out up at Glasgow. So, you know, hold on to your chair as we read this, all right? Because this passage seems to have a bad effect on people, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. Everybody okay? All right, we're doing all right. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. One star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. It is sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Paul is making a contrast here, and we're going to use this contrast to talk about what he's talking about in the immediate context, but also to talk about a bigger context. It's interesting, we call 1 Corinthians the great resurrection chapter, and it is. But the real contrast Paul's drawing in 1 Corinthians 15 is not just between being dead and being alive, you know, resurrection. It is about that. You are going to be dead physically. You're going to live again physically. You're going to be resurrected. But the big contrast that Paul makes about that is a terrestrial body and a celestial body. Verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. The glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. So there are bodies that are terrestrial, that is bound to terra firma, to the earth, and there are bodies that are celestial, that are not bound to the earth. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. A natural body, a body that comes based upon God's creation of nature, that comes about by that process that he took out of nature from the dust of the ground, and bodies that are not natural but are spiritual. Now, it's a real body just the same, but it didn't come through that process of creation that God did when he created the heaven and the earth. It's going to be a new creation, which ties into what the body of Christ is. So Paul's using these terms, celestial, terrestrial, natural, physical. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So you've got a terrestrial, natural, earthy body, and you've got a celestial, spiritual, heavenly body. And the contrast Paul's drawing there in 1 Corinthians is not just between being dead and being alive, but the type of body you have in the resurrection, the type of living body you have. In verse 51, just as a sidelight, we could say this, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The mystery in 1 Corinthians 15 is not resurrection. Resurrection is not a mystery. Job knew about resurrection. All the Old Testament prophets knew about resurrection. Isaiah said, my dead body shall live. Well, I guess you get resurrection. They understood resurrection. But what they didn't understand was resurrection to a heavenly destiny. Because where was every Jew hoping to be resurrected to? The land, the kingdom. It's all about the land. For a Jew, I know I'm going to die. Abraham knew he was going to die, But he knew also that he was going to live in that land forever. Now, the only way you can die yet live in the land forever is to get resurrected. When the kingdom comes to that land, you get resurrected, you're in the kingdom, you're in the land. What they didn't understand is that there could be a resurrection to a totally different place, a resurrection to a heavenly place, a resurrection to a celestial place, with a body equipped to function in that heavenly place, that celestial. That's the mystery of verse 51. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Even if you don't sleep, that is, die, do you have to be changed to get your ultimate blessing? Yes, you do. And understand, that's one of the big reasons why, for the dispensation of grace, healing and physical blessing, you know, blessing this body of flesh, is not a big issue for God. It's not an issue at all for God. Because you can't take that into where your ultimate blessing lies. Your ultimate blessing lies in the heavenly places. And it gets a little hard to explain this because you say, well, that's our future hope of physical blessing. But it's not physical in the sense that it's this body of flesh. It's physical in the sense that all physical needs will be met because you're going to get a different kind of a body. You're going to get a body that doesn't have all the problems of this physical body, but it's equipped to function in a totally different place. But it's still a body. It's still real. It's still a real body. It's not just, it's not like forgiveness. If I said to Mark, come up here and draw a picture of forgiveness, what would you draw? Cross. But that just represents forgiveness. That's not really forgiveness. That's the basis of our... But how would you draw forgiveness? You can't. Come up and draw redemption. See, when we say something's a truly spiritual blessing, you can't draw it. You can't draw forgiveness. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You can have it. It's real. This body that we're going to get, this celestial, spiritual body, is a real thing. We don't know what it's going to look like. We can't conceive it yet. But it's a real thing. You could theoretically draw this body you're going to get. It will exist as a real, tangible thing. So it's not physical, but it is tangible. It is real. You can touch it. So we're going to get that body. That's the change that occurs. A different kind of body, but still a real, tangible body. But it's a body that we get in the heavenlies. And it functions in the heavenlies. And it's equipped for the heavenlies. And it exists in the heavenlies. And everything about it is heavenly. Just like everything about Israel is the land, the land, the land, the land, everything about us is heaven, 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 heaven. Ephesians chapter 1. And of course you see this, if you read a commentary about the book of Ephesians, almost every writer that understands anything about anything, when they talk about Ephesians, somewhere in their book, in their commentary, they'll sort of subtitle the book of Ephesians in the heavenlies, or our heavenly call, or something like that, because you just can't read the book of Ephesians without understanding. Paul points you consistently to the heavenlies. He starts out here in chapter 1, verse 3, where we've been reading. He blesses us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He goes on to chapter 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we're seated. We're blessed in the heavenlies. We're seated in the heavenlies. Chapter 3, verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Our testimony and our witness is to the heavenly places. In chapter 6, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those high places, those heavenly places, that's where we wrestle. Our warfare is there. So, you know, much like the Old Testament writers are always telling Israel, your blessing is in the land. Your blessing is the land. Your forgiveness is in the land. Your the land is going to flow with milk and honey. Your destiny is tied to that land. So Paul tells us, your forgiveness is in heaven. Your blessings are in heaven. Your position is in heaven. Your testimony is in heaven. Everything about you is in heaven. Your blessings reside there in the heavenly places. So the real contrast between Israel's blessings and our blessing is not spiritual and physical, is not how they come about. They're basically always by faith. But the real issue is, do those blessings reside on a land, on the earth, or do they reside in the heavenlies? That's the real contrast. And that's why when we talk about right division, we try to teach it based on that premise. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in the end, there's a new heaven and a new earth. And that division is, God put that division in Scripture, put that division in the universe. The heavens declare that, we always talk about how creation reveals God's wisdom and God's knowledge and God's understanding. Well, you know what? It does. Because what did he create? Heaven and earth. And if you look at creation, you understand the basic of right division just by looking at creation. Before you ever read Paul's epistles, before you ever know about an apostle to the Gentiles, before you ever know about the mystery, you look out at creation and you say, there's an earth and there's the heavens. And you're on your way to right division. The creation explains it. The creation explains what God is doing. In Ephesians, Paul sort of gives you the capstone of all of that and says, here's how it all works. Here's why he made a heaven and an earth. If you turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20, Philippians 3 and verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. See, it's not that we don't have a body, it's just that it's a different kind of body. Fashioned like unto his glorious body. And what's that verse 8? Who shall change our vile body. What's the mystery? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's the mystery that Paul reveals. That's the thing that's unique, because Paul's mystery is about those heavenly places. And when we talk about how do you count your blessings, we need to understand that the most important thing for us to realize is where our blessings reside. Our blessings reside in the heavenly place. Anything you have here on the earth is a blessing that is tied to nature. Now, it's a blessing, and should you be thankful for it? Yes. Should you be thankful for family and friends and food to eat and a house to live in and all the things that you have here that enable you to just live your life and have an enjoyable life? You should be thankful for all those things, but understand that those are the things that you have because you're a part of God's creation. But when you start looking at what is it that God has given me because of I have faith, because I've come to Him by faith, because I am His child, because I am saved, for those things you have to look to the heavenlies. You have to look there because we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's where those blessings are in heavenly places, the spiritual part. What about the redemption of your body? Where does that occur? Well, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. That stuff all is a heavenly issue too. He's not going to change your body here on the planet. If you have cancer, you'll have cancer. If you have a heart attack, you'll have a heart attack. He's not changing your body here on the earth. He's going to change that vile body, fashion it like unto his glorious body in the heavenly places, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things. As part of subduing all things, bringing the universe back under his authority, he will change your body, give you that physical element of your blessing, but not now. Everything that you have because you're God's child is in the heavenly places. Everything Israel had because they were God's children is in that land. Now, have Jews, you know, you get outside of that land, have Jews, today, especially in the dispensation, have Jews prospered outside that land? Absolutely. But is that because of something God's doing for them? That's just because they're a part of creation like everybody else. And they use the things of creation to prosper in creation. But at some point, God will give them the blessing that they get because they're God's people, and that remnant of Israel that comes by faith, they'll go back to that land. We studied last Wednesday night, we reviewed Romans chapter 11. As it is written, so all Israel shall be saved. For there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's when and where they get their blessing. When that deliverer comes out of Zion and delivers them and gives them their blessing in the land. So when we count our blessings, there's two kinds to count and two places to count them. The stuff you can look out and see, that's a blessing of God's creation. And you should be thankful for them. But here's the thing. If you don't have a lot of the things you can see, does that mean that you're not as blessed as God's child? No, it doesn't. And that's the mistake people make. When you mix up those blessings that are just a part of creation and the blessings God gives you because you're his children, you can begin to say, well, I'm God's child, this person is God's child, they've got a lot, I've got not much. You know, and you can even take it outside of the realm of comparing yourselves with other people in the United States of America. How about compare the poorest person in this room that has the least amount of anything, of anybody in this room, with some of the believers that I met and that Mark met in the Philippines, or that I met in India. I mean, you talk about having nothing. They got nothing compared to what you have. So, does God love you more than them? Has he blessed you more than them? Mm-mm. Nature's out there, and the creation's out there, and we all take advantage of that creation, saved and lost, and we need to understand that. But the blessing that you have because you've come to him by faith as God's child, everybody has the same. It doesn't matter if you have $10 million in your checking account or 10 cents in your checking account, or anywhere in between. What you have in Christ is the same across the board. And where that blessing lies in heavenly places is the same across the board. So when you count your blessings, be careful you don't mix up those two kinds. It's fine to be thankful for all the stuff you have just as a part of creation, but don't think that that's an indication of God's blessing to you as a believer. His blessing to you as a believer, you can only count in heavenly places. If you can see it, here's your rule of thumb. If you can see it, it's not something God gave you because you're a believer. Because we look not at the things which are, but at things which are. Because the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. The stuff God gives you as a believer is eternal. So if you can see it, God didn't give it to you because you're a believer. It's a part of his creation. It's those things you can't see in the heavenly places that are yours in Christ. Let's bow our hearts down in a word of prayer. God and Father, again, we do thank you for Jesus Christ and the opportunity of looking at your word, studying it together this morning. And we pray that each of us would truly be thankful for all of our blessings, those that come from creation and those that come by being God's children. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.